Rayquaza is one of the most popular Pokemon ever, for good reason. It's a legendary Pokemon, which already elevates its status, but it's also the cover mascot of Emerald, which is not only one of my personal favorite Pokemon games, but also pretty widely agreed upon as one of the best Pokemon games in the entire franchise. Rayquaza completes one of the most iconic legendary trios, and its design individually is amazing. I mean, just look at this thing. How can you think it's not cool? Rayquaza is also very strong. Very strong. The Pokemon franchise has repeatedly shown that Rayquaza is operating on a world-altering level of power. When Kyogre and Groudon nearly end the world as we know it, it's Rayquaza who canonically restores order, sending the two ancient legendaries scurrying like kids who have made a mess before mom gets home from work. When extraterrestrial threats loom, it's Rayquaza who steps up to bat to protect the planet, whether by fighting off eldritch space horrors or literally destroying a meteor. And at its peak, it channels humanity's literal hope for salvation, igniting the awesome power of Mega Evolution within its own body to become Mega Rayquaza. And when I won the World Championships, I did it with Mega Rayquaza on my team. So I feel qualified to tell you that Rayquaza lives up to the hype. Or I should say, it used to. Because while Rayquaza is one of the strongest Pokemon ever, it's fallen off harder than nearly any other Pokemon. To the point where, in the current official competitive format, despite being tournament legal, Rayquaza is seeing zero usage. But back in 2016, Rayquaza was undeniably one of the best and one of the only restricted Pokemon. A restricted Pokemon is a type of legendary Pokemon that is normally banned, only to be released every 3 years or so for players to have a look at. They're called restricteds because you're only allowed a limited number of them on your team. Their usage is restricted. And back in 2016, the number that you were allowed to have on your team was 2. But the thing is, back in 2016, there weren't really that many restricted Pokemon that were actually worth using. But despite this, Rayquaza was clearly one of the top 4, alongside the likes of Xerneas and, of course, Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre. Now, those of you familiar with the power of Xerneas may be surprised to hear that Rayquaza was able to keep up, given that there was the single most broken fairy type ever made dominating the field. But it's true, Rayquaza was still able to succeed and win the World Championships that year, but it was only able to do so because of the power of Mega Rayquaza. If you've ever dabbled in any type of competitive Pokemon, you've likely heard people talk about the power of Mega Rayquaza. See, Mega Rayquaza has, a couple things going for it. First is an incredibly broken signature ability called Delta Stream. This ability not only cancels out any other weather conditions on the field, and it can't be overwritten by regular weather conditions like sun, rain, hail, or sand, but it also turns off all of the weaknesses of all flying type Pokemon currently on the field. In other words, while regular Rayquaza is weak to rock and quadruple weak to ice, Mega Rayquaza takes neutral damage from rock and only double damage from ice. It also means that Mega Rayquaza has a resistance to electric where it was neutral before. This alone would probably be enough to justify using Mega Rayquaza. But of course, I haven't talked about the second thing that Mega Rayquaza has, which is the single highest base stat total of any usable Pokemon ever. Period. And these stats combo nicely with the third thing that makes Rayquaza ridiculous, which is its move pool. Rayquaza learns basically every move under the sun, and then some more. Want a powerful offensive move of virtually any type? Try Rayquaza. And because Mega Rayquaza has so many stat points, it works as both a physical and a special attacker at the same time. Because even if you didn't train one of its attacking stats very much, the starting value was so high that it could still do tons of damage. Rayquaza also got a signature move in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, called Dragon Ascent, which is effectively a flying type version of the fighting type attack Close Combat. While this doesn't sound very flashy, you have to remember that flying is an incredible offensive type that is really held back by its lack of good attacking moves. There's like Brave Bird, which has recoil damage, and like that's kind of it. They made Dual Wing Beat, but it can miss. There's like Acrobatics, but you need to have no item. There's really not many good options. So getting access to Dragon Ascent, which is a super powerful move and also doesn't deal any recoil damage, is a pretty big deal. Though what really made Dragon Ascent ridiculous is the fourth and, in my opinion, the most crucial aspect of what made Mega Rayquaza so unbelievably good. Hold on a second, Wolf. We can't tell them Rayquaza's big secret yet. We need to tell them about this video's sponsor, Raycon. This fall, lots of folks are heading back to school fresh from their summer vacation. I am not heading back to school because I am 29 years old and I have videos about cartoon animals to make. However, I also want to feel fresh. Oh, what's this? Wait, my green screen. No! Wait, hang on. I can do this. Oh, what's this? Very nice. I got the mint colored ones because I like mint. These are Raycon's Essential Open Earbuds, and they allow me to listen to music while keeping my ears open. Now that's what I call fresh. These are super lightweight and they never feel bulky despite their unique shape. So they're great for gaming, going to the gym, or just walking around your house, cleaning the kitchen, which, I mean, let's be honest, you gotta clean the kitchen, dog. Like it's you're overdue, and we both know it. This year I've done a good job getting back into running. I've run at the time of recording this over 90 miles in 2025, so good job me. And I've been wearing my Raycon earbuds every time I run. Personally, I like how secure these open air earbuds feel, and I will definitely be using them going forward. Their 36 hour total battery life is also huge for people like me, who are absolutely going to forget to charge them, which allows me to run with some peace of mind. If you think some Raycons would make you feel fresh and you want to support the channel, click the link in the description box or go to buyraycon.com/wolfieopen to get 20% off across the whole site. That's buyraycon.com/wolfieopen for 20% off across the whole site. Okay, but now we have to get back to what Rayquaza's other big secret is. Wolf from the past, please tell me, please. See, normally, in order to mega evolve one of your Pokemon, you had to hold a special item. Kangaskhanite for Kangaskhan, Mawileite for Mawile, etc. This was the case for every single Mega Pokemon, and it makes sense from a balancing perspective, because items allow you to multiply your Pokemon's power, and given how much stronger Mega Evolutions are already than regular Pokemon, giving them an additional boost from an item would just make them too difficult to keep in check. Which begs the question, why would they let Rayquaza, the strongest Mega Evolution, Mega Evolve for free? See, unlike literally every other Mega Evolution in the game, instead of needing to give up its held item to Mega Evolve, Rayquaza simply had to learn the move Dragon Ascent. You know, the super broken move that you were planning on using anyway. Mega Rayquaza was so broken that in the unofficial singles formats, they had to make an entirely new format just to handle it, because this thing was too uber for ubers. When people talk about the most broken Pokemon of all time, this thing almost always gets a mention. After 2016, Mega Rayquaza was no longer legal for the following 2 years, but it maintained its reputation as one of the strongest Mega Evolutions and one of the strongest Pokemon period, going into the 2019 competitive season, which is the next time it was legal. During that season, it won the North American International Championships, used again by yours truly, and then it went on to earn 2 top 8 world placements. And that's not another first place trophy, but it is a testament to one simple fact. Mega Rayquaza was one of the most fearsome Pokemon to ever exist, because after its 2019 performance, Rayquaza vanished, disappeared back into the sky from whence it came. Rayquaza, one of the strongest Pokemon ever, has not had a tournament win in 6 years and counting. Now, to be fair, Rayquaza hasn't been tournament legal for every format since 2019. But also to be fair, every single time it has been allowed, which is 2022, 2024, and 2025, Rayquaza has sat at under a single percentage of usage and at the bottom of every tier list. And while sometimes a worse Pokemon will still have its diehard fans, there's no trainer out there going to bat for Rayquaza. Not even me, one of its single biggest fans. Since 2019, there are only 7 recorded uses of Rayquaza in official tournaments in the past 6 years. And out of those 7 teams, all but one placed outside the top 128. The only one that made it inside top 128 placed 115th, so just barely squeaking in there. So the question is, why? How did the Emperor of the Air get sent crashing to Earth? Well, the initial answer seems obvious. What made Rayquaza so unbelievably broken was its Mega Form, a form that was removed from the game following 2019. This is seen pretty clearly by looking back at the 2019 season. See, even though I've been talking about 2019 as if it was only one format, it was actually 3. Sun Series, Moon Series, and eventually the format that we played for the World Championships, Ultra Series. What's interesting about these 3 rule sets is that, unlike most other formats, which rotate Pokemon in and out, these 3 formats kept the same list of legal Pokemon, but changed which mechanics were legal. In Sun Series, neither Z-moves or Mega Evolution was allowed. Moon Series added Z-moves, and finally Ultra Series added Mega Evolution and whatever's going on with Primal Groudon and Kyogre. In other words, we can compare regular Rayquaza to Mega Rayquaza by seeing how well it performed in the Sun and Moon Series compared to Ultra. So, how did regular Rayquaza do? Not good, and by that I mean it really wasn't used at all. Even with other Mega Evolutions banned, Rayquaza still couldn't keep up. So, I guess that's it, right? Case closed? Mega Evolution is the only thing that was making Rayquaza good? Well, not exactly. Because remember, Rayquaza doesn't use a stone to Mega Evolve, so the Pokemon Company couldn't just ban Rayquazaite from play. Instead, they had to ban Dragon Ascent, Rayquaza's single best move. So this isn't actually a fair comparison, because we're not comparing Rayquaza to, like, Mega Rayquaza, we're comparing Mega Rayquaza to Mini Rayquaza, Rayquaza Jr.? Keep in mind that the number one winner from the Sun and Moon formats was arguably Xerneas, who only needed to rely on the Power Herb to reach its broken power level. And so this actually isn't such a fair comparison when we want to look at just Rayquaza. The fact remains, though, that losing its Mega Evolution was a huge blow to Rayquaza. Not only does it lose its broken ability, it also found itself down 100 points in base stats, which is functionally the same nerf that Groudon and Kyogre received. And yet, those two still saw a ton of play, so our mystery hasn't been solved yet. There's another mystery we have to solve first, though, which is some of you aren't subscribed, and I would like for you to subscribe. That would be cool. Subscribing helps the channel out a lot, and also lets YouTube know that you want to be notified of my videos when they come out. I'm hoping to do more videos like this one, diving into competitive Pokemon's history, so if you're enjoying this one, make sure you subscribe. Anyway, something that I think is strange is that following the removal of Mega Evolution, Pokemon introduced Dynamax and then Terastalization as new mechanics. And in theory, Rayquaza should use both of these mechanics quite well. The single best Dynamax move in the game was Max Airstream, which is the move that all Flying-type moves would turn into. The reason it was so good is basically it did more damage than it should have, and it gave your Pokemon a speed boost, and speed is like super important in competitive play, and Rayquaza seems like it should be an ideal user of, again, the best Dynamax move in Sword and Shield. As a Flying-type legendary Pokemon with a high-powered move to base it off of, it's easy to imagine Rayquaza blasting through foes and running away with the game. But it's here that we get to Rayquaza's weaknesses, and there are unfortunately many of them. While both Dragon Ascent and Extreme Speed are strong moves, they share some types that resist them in Rock and Steel, with Steel also resisting Rayquaza's Dragon-type moves. Moreover, these moves can only hit one of your opponent's Pokemon at a time, and while some restricted Pokemon can get away with hitting one foe at a time, Pokemon like Groudon, Kyogre, Xerneas, and both Calyrex forms are strong in part because they can beat down both your foes simultaneously. Regular Rayquaza also doesn't have an unthinkable attack stat, meaning you likely wanted a Swords Dance boost before you started firing off attacks, and in the high-power, double-restricted format of Sword and Shield, it was pretty rare that you were actually able to take it slow. One quirk of Dynamax is that once a Pokemon has gone big mode, their moves lose all of their priority, aside from Max Guard. In other words, your starting speed stat matters a lot when you Dynamax, and surprisingly, Rayquaza isn't actually that fast. It sits at a cool base 95, which isn't terrible, but it's way under the other speedsters of this format. So Rayquaza takes a little while to get going, and in that time, your opponent could be dishing out instant damage with things like Choice Specs Kyogre or just Zacian. Speaking of which, Rayquaza has an awkward relationship to Dynamax in general. First of all, it wanted to spend a turn outside of Dynamax to set up a Swords Dance ideally, and while Max Airstream is a great move, the issue is that the other move that Rayquaza would normally run is Max Strike, and that's only okay, and it also achieved the same thing but slightly worse by lowering your opponent's speeds rather than boosting your own. The reason Rayquaza needed to use Max Strike is because Extreme Speed is one of its best moves, and in fact, Extreme Speed and Dragon Ascent were the only two damaging moves that I used when I won the World Championships. Of course, you could drop Extreme Speed, but that meant that Rayquaza was way worse outside of Dynamax. But then again, if you used it, it meant that you were often just down a move slot inside of Dynamax. If we look at the other Max Airstream abusers of the format, like Thundurus and Charizard, they had really useful, really powerful secondary moves that didn't have too much overlap with the Max Airstream itself. And so if you wanted a dedicated Max Airstream user on your team, there were better options that also didn't take up your restricted slot. Now, Rayquaza is also a Dragon type, and so if you wanted, you could drop Swords Dance or you could drop Extreme Speed and try and get Dragon coverage. But if you wanted access to Max Wurmwind, you had to choose between the low-powered Dragon Claw, the incredibly unreliable Outrage, or the specially based Draco Meteor, which attacked from the opposite side of the spectrum as Dragon Ascent. I told you earlier that Mega Rayquaza could be used as a mixed attacker, using both special and physical moves. But that's because Mega Rayquaza has 60 more stats in its offenses. If you gave Incineroar 60 more stats that it could use, I think I would have no choice but to retire. Regular Rayquaza just doesn't have the raw stats to justify using a special attack without investing any stat points into it in the same way that its Mega form can. I haven't given it too much attention yet, but the loss of Delta Stream is also a pretty big deal for Rayquaza. While its regular ability Cloud9 still does turn off the weather, it now has to deal with way more weaknesses than before, including both Flying and Dragon being weak to ice. When I used Mega Rayquaza to win tournaments, I was using it in part to handle opposing Kyogre. And at North American Internationals in 2019, I used Assault Vest Rayquaza, which took 3 Ice Beams to KO with Kyogre. Bulk is really important on Dynamax Pokemon because, like, if they go down early, then you don't get your 3 turns of value. But without its Mega form, Kyogre Ice Beams suddenly become a much scarier prospect, and that's not even talking about Max Hailstorm. But what if I told you that the biggest issue wasn't even its typing or its moves or its ability, that there was another more frustrating issue, one that invalidated Rayquaza almost entirely, and that issue was a single Pokemon. Mega Rayquaza may have previously been considered the most broken Pokemon ever made, but Generation 8 introduced a new contender, one seemingly handcrafted to cut the dragon down to size. Zacian is Rayquaza's worst nightmare. You thought I was going to talk about Incineroar, I bet, but no, this time it's different. It's Zacian, okay? The thing about Zacian is it's immune to the odd dragon move, and it resists both flying and normal type moves, and it can deal super effective damage back with Play Rough. Not to mention, if Rayquaza Dynamaxes, Behemoth Blade now does double damage to it as well. I do think all the other issues with Rayquaza definitely held it back a little bit, but I don't think any of them were as hard to overcome as Zacian. There was just no way that Rayquaza was going to succeed when Zacian was the second most used Pokemon at the World Championships, only behind Incineroar. So Rayquaza's first foray without Mega Evolution was, well, I mean, it didn't really foray anywhere. It just sat in the no usage zone. It was outmatched, overpowered, and underwhelming. Power creep had caught up, and Rayquaza would need something special to get back on top, which, surprisingly, is what Generation 9 seemed to offer, with a new mechanic seemingly tailor-made for Rayquaza's problems, Terastalization. There are two primary ways that a Pokemon can benefit from Terastalization. The first, and often most important, is defensively. A Pokemon can switch its type on a whim, discarding the weaknesses that may have weighed it down before, or it can simply flip a problematic matchup on its head. The second, of course, is offensively. Although there are a couple different ways that you can use Terastalization here. You can Terastalize to get access to a coverage move. With Terra Blast, Pokemon can cover type combos that they normally wouldn't be able to hit. This is a powerful tool, but it also requires using a move slot, and it will often lock the Pokemon into always Terastalizing. The second type of offensive Terastalization, and the more commonly seen, is to power up an existing move, because Pokemon receive a 50% power boost when using a move that matches one of their types. An example of this is Pokemon like Hydreigon, which could launch Terra boosted Heat Wave once it had turned into a fire type. And the best type of Terastalization is one that combines both offense and defense. Luckily for Rayquaza, it had a perfect role model for just this type of Terastalization. Dragonite. Before Rayquaza even got in the plane to Paldea, Dragonite was terrorizing the metagame with a Terastalization-reliant strategy perfectly attuned to Rayquaza's capabilities. This strategy revolved around a Terra Normal boosted Extreme Speed, often next to the legendary Pokemon Chen Pao, who reduces the defense of all Pokemon while it's out on the field. With a Choice Band, a big old gemstone on its head, and the Snow Leopard's menacing aura, Dragonite could rip through anything that didn't resist its Normal-type moves. In addition, Terastalizing to Normal dropped Dragonite's otherwise terrifying weaknesses. As a dragon and flying type, it's weak to ice, rock, fairy, and dragon, all weaknesses it gives up when it turns into a normal type. And as I'm sure you know, Dragonite shares a typing with Rayquaza. This Dragonite-Chen Pao combo became one of the most standard building blocks for teams during the first year of Scarlet and Violet, and even beyond in the second year, picking up a good deal of success there too. And it seemed like Dragonite was just laying down the red carpet for Rayquaza. After all, Rayquaza does everything Dragonite does and more. Right? Better attacking stats, an actual usable flying type move, and even the option to run Swords Dance and free up your item slot. Honestly, the biggest difference is just that Rayquaza has Airlock, whereas Dragonite has Inner Focus as its ability, which ended up being a deal breaker, because Inner Focus makes Dragonite immune to both Fake Out and Intimidate, freeing it up to start attacking immediately, even in the face of, you guessed it, Incineroar. Inner Focus also makes the Choice Band way more appealing. You can't have your damage sent back to reasonable levels if you ever get intimidated, and being unable to protect yourself is way less important when you don't have to worry about the positional tool of Fake Out. It doesn't help that the best Intimidate Pokemon and the best Fake Out Pokemon are one and the same. Incineroar, again, and Incineroar is on nearly every team at all times, because the problem is that after an Intimidate, Rayquaza's actually noticeably weaker than Dragonite, meaning it had to choose between the Clear Amulet item, which makes it Intimidate-proof but doesn't offer a damage boost, or the Choice Band, which makes it way stronger when Incineroar isn't around, but a lot worse when it is. Airlock was a disappointment in more ways than one. Lots of competitive Pokemon formats are ruled by weather, and in the past, Groudon and Kyogre were two of the best and most used restricted Pokemon. But in Generation 9, the game is often centered around Pokemon who don't mind clear skies, like Miraidon, Zamazenta, and both the Calyrex forms. Oh yeah, speaking of, Rayquaza certainly hates to see Ice Rider coming. Not only is it an Ice-type Pokemon with a move that hits both of its foes, but it's also a phenomenally bulky Pokemon, making it nearly impossible for Rayquaza to break. Now you might think that with a little help, say a Swords Dance or a Clear Amulet and maybe Chen Pao as well, Rayquaza can get around these weaknesses by just blowing up its foes with Extreme Speed before they can move. But the reality is that Extreme Speed felt way more like just okay speed in practice. Let's think of a best case scenario. +2, Terra Normal, Extreme Speed, with Sword of Ruin active, and you still don't KO Calyrex Ice Rider, who by the way has its Glacial Lance boosted because you have your own Chen Pao out in the field. And it's not like you're close either, like you should only be doing about 75% even with this combo. And again, this is assuming that you managed to get a Swords Ends up in front of Ice Rider in the first place, which is already quite difficult. Calyrex Ice isn't even the only problem. Groudon and Bulky Koridon can survive this extreme speed as well if they want to. Lunala and Calyrex Shadow are fully immune to extreme speed, and there can even be a partner Pokemon like Indeedee, Sarina, or Farigiraf that just completely shuts down all priority moves, including extreme speed. In an absolute best case scenario, sure, Rayquaza's extreme speed could eviscerate the correct slot, just in time to get picked up by the other Pokemon on your opponent's side of the field, exploiting the damage that you've taken in setting up, or faking you out, or intimidating you, or whatever. Rayquaza is simply too linear and too slow to really make work. In the time it takes to set up, the opponent's probably already lined up one of their three countermeasures. If you're running Choice Band, you're locked into one strong-ish move at the expense of any sort of flexibility. But what makes things really funny is that Rayquaza's game plan hasn't really changed since its heyday. This method of attack, hard, concentrated, and single target, is exactly what I used it to do back in 2016. All the gimmicks since then, whether max airstream spam or banded extreme speed, play towards that same idea. It just needs a little bit more power, a bit more X factor, something special. Yeah, okay, it needs Mega Evolution. Look, I've done a lot of circling the drain here, pointing out Rayquaza's other flaws. And the point remains that without those flaws, maybe regular old Ray could get the job done. But you can't get away from the simple truth. With Mega Evolution, Rayquaza's a contender. He's a somebody. Without it, he's a noodly nobody. The extra power level means that simple game plan is worth pursuing. Mega Rayquaza can muscle through contingencies and create enough pressure on the field that a single Swords Dance can derail your opponent's whole game plan. Or it can lean into defense, using the Assault Vest in combination with Delta Stream to survive unbelievable hits while attacking with strong physical and special moves. Or it can lean into the burst potential and use Life Orb, not caring about Intimidate thanks to the power buff and its ability to use Draco Meteor. Or maybe another set entirely. There are new items now that didn't exist back when Rayquaza had access to its Mega Form. Maybe Clear Amulet Mega Rayquaza is a whole different beast. You never know. Unfortunately, Mega Rayquaza is not in Scarlet and Violet. But for some strange reason, I just have this feeling that it won't be too long until we're seeing Rayquaza at full power again. Thanks for watching. If you like this video, you might be interested to hear about how Dragonite kind of followed the opposite arc of Rayquaza, starting out as a Pokemon nobody would touch, and then finally becoming one of the top threats in Scarlet and Violet.